Well, hello, and thank you for joining in today on this recording. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you. We're going back into our study of the study number 17 today, questions often asked, and we're going to begin our first question today concerning little children. And I know that you're going to enjoy this and all the questions that we're going to be asking, the common questions in Christianity that people ask and wonder what the Bible says about it. And I remind you that that's what we're doing in these studies, is that we're not going to try to imagine what God says or suppose what he says. We're going to get in the Word of God that we believe to be the words of God. And we're going to get into it, and we're going to find out what he says. And what the Bible says, and whatever it says, we're going to agree with, and whatever it doesn't say, we're not going to try to make something in the place of it. Amen. I hope you've been having a wonderful day, and that you've been serving our Lord Jesus Christ, and that you love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and or at least you're trying to. You know, the Lord does give credit for trying. He does. And if you knew anything about your flesh, you would know what we're talking about trying, because it's an everyday thing, isn't it? I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And that's something that a Christian has to come to terms with, besides his spirituality, is how rotten his flesh is. There's no good thing in our flesh, and we're stuck inside of it right now. But one day the Lord's going to either bring us home and put that body back in the ground and let us go be with him, or he's going to come and get us and just snatch us up out of here, and we're going to be changed at the rapture. Either way, it's going to be wonderful, and what a promise we have from our Lord. All right, well, let's go ahead and go back into our study. I wanted to remind you that from just recap just a little bit, that from our last lesson, that when we begin this, we started talking about things that we need to keep in mind when we're asking God's Word questions, remember? And there was a few things that we needed to go over. The Bible is, we need to, there's no reason to ask God's Word questions if you're not interested in the answers. There's a lot of people in a lot of Christians that are are just really making a mess of God's Word. God's Word was not given to us for that reason, for Christians to fight over and for them to act like a bunch of little bitty children in a romper room, running around tossing God's Word all over the place and ain't interested in it to begin with. Just who's going to get, you know, just a whole bunch of horsing around with God's Word. I know, and you know just as well as I do, that God's not pleased with it. Because he magnifies his word above his name. And what would you think? You write a book, and you got it exactly like you want it, and you got it the words exactly, and the meaning, and everything exactly like you want it from you, and people take your word and start horsing around with it and changing it and adding and taking away from it, and just all of these sorts of things, and just horsing around with it and fighting over it. That's not the intention you wrote that book for. You didn't write that book so they could do all that, nor did God. God didn't give us his word for that reason. He gave us his word to give us a complete revelation of himself, of what he wanted us to know about him. And when you're changing it and you're adding to it and taking away from it, then you're changing what the Lord said about himself, or what he did not say about himself. And that changes who he is. And I would take it personal, wouldn't you? But one thing that we're not to do, things to keep in mind, just to recap a little bit before we go on into this question, is we're not to mess around with God's word. Either believe it or don't believe it, whichever. But don't try to make it sound or be what you want it to be and then convince other people that that's what it is. I mean, it says what it says. When you read in the newspaper, you read it for what every word is in that word, so you can know. And if somebody said something and they got blamed for it, you say, well, you said. I mean, you hold everybody else accountable for what they say. Why is it people aren't satisfied with God's word the way it is? There's something wrong with that to begin with, see. But God give us his revelation of himself. And if you're not one of them people that messes with God's word, you just believe it and take it as it says, then good for you. But we need to believe that God's word is complete and that it is without error and without mistake. Why would I trust in a God that made mistakes in his writings to me? You'd be a fool to trust in a God that couldn't keep his own word straight, wouldn't you? I mean, if you was a boss man, you went to hire somebody and you trusted them with something real valuable, and you can't keep them from messing around with your word, or you can't trust their word or trust them with your words, you're not going to trust them with anything valuable. You know, the Lord is not this person. The Lord is not this God that a whole bunch of people are trying to make him out to be, manipulating and playing around with his words. God give us clear warning having to do with his word, and people ain't taking that very serious. But they will when they look at him in the face. When they look at him in the face, they're gonna take it serious. Then you better leave that Bible alone and just take it for what it says. And whatever you don't know, quit acting like you do and quit teaching people lies. You see, don't do that. But another thing, the Bible has the answer. God's word answers everything that we need to know. And if it does not have the answer, we don't need to make up no warm fuzzies and likes nots and traditions and opinions and blabbity, 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 blah, and make up a whole bunch of stupid stuff that ain't got nothing to do with what God said anyway. You know, you tell one lie and make up some kind of fairy tale about something, then it goes into a bigger lie and a bigger lie and a bigger fairy tale. And pretty soon you got people believing that they come from monkeys. And God's word says so. I mean, that's how ignorant it gets. But God's word has the answer. If you believe God's word is alive like it says it is, it says it liveth and abideth forever. Now, it's either what he says it is or it's not. Either Jesus Christ is who he says he is, and God the Father and God the Holy Ghost is who they say they are, or either they're liars. And if they're lying, then their word is no good. And if their word is no good, your salvation is no good. Paul said that, remember? And if your salvation is no good, you're going to die. Where are you going to go? Listen, you go ahead and battle that fight. I'm settled. God the Holy Ghost has taught me what the word of God is, and I ain't budging. And it ain't got nothing to do with what a man says or what a man does not say. It's got to do with what God the Holy Ghost has taught me in my heart and taught me in that word. And you should be the same way. And the Bible has the answer. And you should trust that book and put your trust in it. God will never let you down if you'll trust him with sincerity and truth. Another thing that we need to know before we ask God's word questions. You should know that there's some things that we're never going to get an answer for. That's another thing we need to remember. We don't need to get into, we need to avoid foolish and unlearned questions. You know, there's still things that people are talking about what God thinks about something that's been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years that's still going on, that the devil still gets people on this stupid hobby horse running around trying to find an answer about something that nobody has ever, ever found an answer for. The Bible tells us very plainly in many verses that we went over last time that we talked about this, opening this study up, was that we are to avoid foolish and unlearned questions because they gender strife, don't they? It says that in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23. And it says, along with profane and old wives' fables. We're not to get into that kind of stuff with God's word. We're to read it for what it says, study it to show ourselves approved unto God, and that we don't end up being ashamed because we don't know what God's Word says. And you should be knowing and listening very close to somebody that's teaching you the Word of God or preaching the Word of God. You should listen very close to what I'm saying. And I've told you to do that. And if I say something wrong, I ask you to correct me for that so that I can make sure that I got it right. Okay? But you're getting everything from the Scriptures off of this lesson. But we're to avoid foolish questions. And when you're asking God's Word, trying to find out something from God's Word, you're not to go into foolishness with it. and things that have already been asked, and it's never come forth with an answer. Just leave it alone, let it go, and put it on your to-ask God list whenever you get there. And we're not to major on the minors and minor on the majors. We're to keep the main thing the main thing. That's the main thing, is to keep the main thing the main thing. And what is that? That's getting people saved and getting ready for the Lord Jesus Christ's second advent. He's coming. And the Bible talks more about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ than it talks about anything else. It don't talk about salvation or being born again or baptism or anything else more than it talks about Jesus Christ's second coming. Are you ready? The Lord says we're not to be caught up in this world. We're not to be, our affections are not to be on this world. Your affections are look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Okay, so those few things that we were talking about, okay, so let's go on into this question, or this first question. What happens to infants and little children if they die? Infants and little children. Well, I want to tell you to begin with, there's more infants and little children that are dying in this generation right now, and I'm talking 2019, it's right now, 2 days before Christmas. 2019. We're fixing to go into 2020. And there's more children and infants dying than ever before. I'm going to mention that, and we got part of that in another study that's coming up, another question, I mean, that's in this study, another question that we're going to be talking about little children and stuff like that. We've got two or three questions that have to do with children on this, but there's more children and infants that are dying than ever before. I got the statistics from 2017. Usually the board that makes up all them statistics having to do with deaths and the amount, the mortality rates and what they die from and how they die and what ages they die and what color they are that dies and all them kind of statistics and stuff like that. You'd be surprised at the chart when you look at infants and little children and how they die and what age they die and what they die from and what is the cause of death from 1 to 10 in order. We'll get into more of that as we get through these questions and things like that and talk about that. Some, but this question here and the following one that's going to be after this, which is what is the age of accountability, has to do with little children and infants. And they kind of run together and they kind of tie into one another, as you're going to see. But we're not going to get ahead of ourselves and try to rush through this. We're going to see what the Bible says and pull the Scriptures out of the Word of God and look into them and see what they actually say. And, you know, the Bible doesn't say. A lot of times the Bible teaches us through evidence that we see in the Scriptures, and we see which way the Scriptures lean and what they mean. And we learn a lot of facts in life by watching evidence. You know not to stick your finger in a light socket because there's evidence of electricity in there. You ain't never seen the electricity. You have no proof it's in there. It's invisible. But there's evidence it's in there, and you got evidence. So you adjust what you and how you play with electricity having to do with the evidence. We believe a lot of things about the Scriptures according to evidence that God gives us in the Scriptures. The Bible Bible tells us about eternity. None of us know about eternity, and God cannot communicate eternity to us until we become eternal and put on eternal things. But there is evidence of eternity all over the place. And the Bible teaches us a lot of times having to do with about facts in the Scriptures, and teaches us what's right and wrong by showing us the evidence. The Bible does not say, "Thou shalt not smoke." It don't say it nowhere. Nowhere in the Scripture does the Bible say, "Thou shalt not smoke." But the Bible does say that we're to take care of these vessels in the temple of God. And the Bible does talk about whoever despises the temple of God shall be destroyed. You see, so God gives us a lot of evidence in some places to show us. You know what? The Lord wrote His Word in such a way to where some things are said to where you would think that the Lord would stand back and say, "Now wait just a minute. Y'all are grown-ups, ain't you?" You know, sometimes the Lord, I bet He just rolls His eyes about us trying to figure, us not understanding things and not taking Him. You know, I mean, it seems like the Lord would say sometimes, "Man, even a child can understand that." You see, so, excuse me, we're to be very careful whenever we're talking about these. And going into this question here before, we're going to be very careful about it and pull the Scriptures out. But let me ask you a question concerning this question: what happens to infants and little children if they die? What would you want to happen to infants and little children if they die? What would you want to happen to them? If infants and little children die, what would you want to happen to them? Why would you want that to happen? Okay. Well, you know, in this society, like we was talking about in 2019, 2020, today, in this generation right now, is it even an interest of anybody anyway about little infants and little children? You know, if you had to make a comment about the subject of infants and little children nowadays, and you look around in society, you'd have to come up with something like, "Nobody cares." You say, "Brother TV, yeah, I care." Yeah, but the exception to the rule is that nowadays, because the majority of the generations nowadays do not care about infants and little children if they die. Some say that they're not even counted as alive until they're almost out of the womb. They're not children until they're almost out of the womb. So they stick needles in the back of their head and suck their brains out and kill them. Or cut them into pieces while they're still in the womb and take them out. See, you say that's gross. Yes, it is. Some say they're not even to be counted as alive. And that's if the mother chooses to keep it. That's another subject we're going to get into later on in a question in our studies. Some find infants and little children such a nuisance that they kill them and throw them in the dumpster. Put them in a bag and put them in a dumpster. Or maybe they tie them up into a car seat and tie them down where they can't move and roll the windows down, put the car in drive and roll it off in the river and drown them to death. Infants and little children. Some say that they came from monkeys anyway and they're still evolving. You see this kind of garbage? What happens to infants and little children if they die? Who cares? Yes, we do care, don't we? But society and the world doesn't. Look around you, brother and sister. Some don't even believe that they exist or go anywhere after dying, that there's nothing out there anyway. There's no God. You know, men and women don't have no bragging rights anymore concerning their care for infants and little children. There's not a day goes by. It's secondhand. You can brush it off and sit there and eat chips and drink Coke while you're watching the news and hear about a little child that's been murdered or killed or whatever, throat sliced or something like that, you know. It's every day on the news. I don't watch the news, but I know it's every day on there. That's the way it is. So it's probably just as well that nobody has any say about what happens to them after their death anyway, isn't it? Probably just as well. Because if man was in charge of it, man would probably charge you for your infant to go somewhere. So praise the Lord that there's evidence of what God thinks of them, right? So when we look into God's Word and He shows us what He thinks about infants and little children and where they go, then we can appreciate it a lot more because God is not like men. And what happens to these children and infants when they die. So let's go ahead and begin. First thing we want to look at is we want to read Acts chapter 13, verse 22. And I'm going to read these. You don't have to turn to them and write them down as you go. I don't know how you do it, but I'll give them to you when we're done. But what happens to infants and little children if they die? Let's see what the Scripture says. In Acts chapter 13, verse 22, we're going to begin talking about King David. And the Bible says, "And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be king, to whom also he gave their testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." Okay, remember that verse. Now let me read you another one. And I'm going to ask you a question after you listen to these verses. 2 Samuel chapter, remember what we're talking about. We're talking about what does the Bible say about infants and little children if they die. Now we're leading up to what the Bible says, but we're looking at evidence right now that's going to lead us to what God's opinion is and what David tells us about this subject. Okay, 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 1 and 2 says, "Now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue." In 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 29, just listen to these verses. I'm going to ask you a question in a minute. And what the Bible is saying about King David and what King David is saying about the Bible. 1 Kings 1, chapter 1, verse 29, 36, and 37. "And the king sware and said, as the Lord liveth, that hath redeemed my soul out of all distress, and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada answered the king and said, Amen. The Lord God of my lord the king say so too. As the Lord hath been with my lord the king, even so be he with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my lord king." King David. So we see there that King David's fixing to turn the throne over and some things that are said about King David and Solomon. And then we see also in let me ask you a question concerning these verses that we've read right here and what the Bible says. Concerning King David there, does it sound like the Bible's teaching us that King David was saved? That he was going to heaven? Does it sound like that? Well, of course it does. I mean, the Bible says a man after mine own heart. God said that about him, which shall fulfill all my will. Now, I mean, there was no things that David had some run-ins with the Lord, but concerning the Lord said that there was none like David that sought the Lord wholly with his heart. Even his son Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, that God made the wise, gave the wisdom that he's never given to any other man or nor will give to any other man, did not follow the Lord wholly in his heart like his father David did, the Bible says. But it also said there, son of Jesse, the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, the sweet psalmist of Israel. Now, God don't speak about people like that that's going to hell. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, he said, and his word was in my tongue. That don't sound like a man that's going to hell. Was David on his way to heaven? Yes, he was. Yes, the Bible teaches us. It didn't say David went to heaven, but the Bible gives us lots of evidence in those scriptures right there concerning him being redeemed. He had even said in 1 Kings, what we read just a minute ago, and the king sware and said, as the Lord liveth, that hath redeemed my soul out of all distresses. So, could we safely say that the Bible teaches evidence that King David was saved? I would have to vote yes. Okay, so let's say the answer is yes. Now let's move on to another question. All right, now remember what our subject is. What happens to infants and little children if they die? All right, 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 10. The Bible says, so David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And then the Bible says in Psalm chapter 23, verse 6, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All right. According to them two verses, the Bible does give us evidence of something else. And here's the question. Where does the Bible say King David goes when he dies? The Bible said that King David died. It said he slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And then in Psalm, what we read, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then he'll die, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. According to the Bible and the evidence that the scriptures have given us, where does the Bible say King David goes when he dies? He goes to be with the Lord. He said he's going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So wherever the Lord is and wherever the Lord's house is, he's there. So according to the scriptures concerning King David, he died. Was he saved? Now, he was not saved according to New Testament covenant, the gospel of the grace of God, Paul's salvation, our salvation, the way that we're saved. King David lived under... he lived under the law. That was faith and works. But we'll get into all that in another study. Okay, so, but he was saved. He did die under grace. He died pleasing to the Lord. And he died and went to paradise, where before Jesus had died and led captivity captive. Before they could go, right now, if you die, you go to heaven. When King David was there and alive, when he went into eternity, he went to a place called paradise that was across a gulf from hell. And he was there with Abraham and all the prophets and the saints that died before him. So, back to our questions. Was King David saved? Yes. Where does the Bible say King David goes when he dies? Well, he went to be with the Lord. He said he would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, either he is there right now or he's a liar. And the Bible's a lie. One or the other. Okay, moving right along now. So we know that King David is says that the Bible says that King David went to be with the Lord. Now you're going to see how you say, well, what is all this about? Well, you're going to see, because we're fixing to get into some other scriptures that are going to bring all this together for you. Like I said, we're looking at evidence about something concerning what happens to infants and little children if they die, and you're going to see it. It's all going to come together in just a minute. All right, now. The next thing, 2 Samuel chapter 12, let me read you something. This is concerning King David also again, but it's concerning him and Bathsheba. You know about that. and concerning what's going on with their sin that they committed and before the Lord. And this is where we're going to get into where it has to do with children and what the Bible's evidence is about where children go when they die concerning the infant that they had between them. David had he committed adultery with Bathsheba and killed her husband and had him slaughtered on the battlefield, and then married Bathsheba. And they had a child, and that baby was born. And you know that later on, a few days later, God, the Lord, I'm trying to think of the word, what the scripture says. It said that he smote the child, and the child died. And the Lord took that child from him. Okay? And that was what Uriah told him when he came to visit him. He told him, "Thou art the man." Okay, but in 2 Samuel chapter 12, listen to this. "And it came to pass on the seventh day," that's after the child was born, "that God, that the child died 7 days after it was born." The child was 7 days old. "And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, 'Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead?' But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, 'Is the child dead?' And they said, 'He is dead.' Then David arose from the earth." Now, before this, David is in sackcloth and ashes. I believe that's the way he was. But he was mourning the child and begging God to let him live. And he wouldn't eat. He was fasting. And he was mourning the child. And he was asking God to let the child live. But God took the child 7 days later. And this is right in that time period right there. "And they said, 'He is dead.' Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself," went, took a bath, cleaned up, "and changed his apparel, and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him." He got something to eat, and he did eat. "Then said his servants unto him, 'What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread.'" I mean, they're kind of confused because they think David ought to be mourning and whining and crying and everything else. Well, here's David's reaction. Listen to this. Now, listen to it. This is what's going to steer us in a direction concerning where little children go. "And he said," this is David answering answering his servants that are wondering about his behavior. "And he said, 'While the child was yet alive," during those 7 days, "I fasted and wept, for I said, 'Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me, that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return unto me.'" Did you get that? Listen to it again. This is David's answer about his child that is already dead, gone into eternity, and where that child... David didn't say that. David said the child was dead, but he said he went somewhere. Listen to it. It says, "While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said," he's speaking to himself, "'Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me and let the child live, that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me.'" According to David, he just contradicted himself, or he told us something about that child going somewhere. Now, remember our first couple questions? You remember what they were? We asked, was David saved? And we decided that he was, according to the evidence in the scriptures. Then we ask, where does the Bible say King David goes when he dies? Well, it said that he'll go and dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, according to right here, David talking about his dead child, he said, but now he is dead. He's talking about his physical body being dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? He said, I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. So what was David saying right there? David was saying that his child could not come back. He was asking God to let him live and fasting. He said after he found out the child was dead, that his body had died, and the child's body was put back in the ground, he said, I shall go to him, but he can't come back to me. In other words, according to David, that's on his way to heaven when he dies, that the Bible is teaching us, he said that his child of 7 days old that died went where? He said that child went where he was going. He said, I shall go to him, but he shall not come back to me. So according to the Bible's evidence in King David and Bathsheba's child, where did that child go? He went to be where the Lord is, where David's going, to the house of the Lord. He went to heaven. A 7-year-old infant that was born, that died, that God smote and took from David and Bathsheba, went where? According to the scripture, it did not say the baby died and went to heaven. But David said out of his mouth, unless he was lying, that the child, he said, I shall go to be with him, but he shall not return unto me. So according to David and what David thought about the child, where'd the child go? Went to heaven, didn't he? There's nothing hard about that. Nothing confusing, nothing tricky, nothing. Just evidence that God said that in his holy word, that was without mistake and without error, that King David was going to heaven. And King David made a comment right there about his dead child, that he's going to go be with that child. I shall go to him, but he shall not return unto me. So there we go. Now, let's ask a question. When the child of King David and Bathsheba died, at just 7 days old, King David said, I shall what? Him? I shall go to him. But he shall not return unto me. Now, what did King David mean by I shall go to him? He meant the same thing that about his child. He meant that he's going to leave his body. His body's going to go back to the dust, just like God said. And his soul is going to be with the Lord. And that child's seven-day-old soul went to be with the Lord. Children, what happens to infants and little children if they die? They go to be with the Lord, according to King David and according to the scriptures. In 2 Samuel and 1 Kings and Psalms. And in the book of Acts. Now, what we can conclude about this, without making up any kind of stories, but just about what the Bible says. What are we to conclude that happened to the child when it died? That it went to heaven. What else could you say? Just listening to what David said about where the child went, where he's going. What other conclusion could you come up with? You couldn't come up with anything else. Because the Bible says that he went to heaven. Unless David's going to hell, which we know better than that. He's a man after God's own heart. He said he'd dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, the scriptures answer the scriptures. Now, did the Bible say specifically, infants and little children go to heaven when they die? Did it say that? No, it did not. Does the Word of God show us truth through Scripture concerning the destination of infants and little children after their death? Does it show us evidence? Does it show us truth about it? Yes, it does. How did it show us truth? By the circumstances of David and Bathsheba and what David said happened to his child, 7 days old, that God took. Does it make sense to you? Of course it should. That's what the Bible says. And we can take that God's, that the Lord's mind concerning seven-day-old children, infants and little children, and we're going to, this thing will make more sense as we go into the next question and find out who's accountable and who's not accountable and what the Bible says about that. You say, well, what age does God cut it off? Well, that's what we're going to talk about in the next question, you see. So, but concerning where infants and little children, if we didn't search any further in the Scriptures, what would you say that the Bible is leading us to believe concerning where little children and infants go when they die? They go to heaven. Would you expect anything else from a merciful, wonderful, kind God that He is? Would you expect anything else? Of course not. I mean, how kind has the Lord been to you, and you know better? Right? So we're glad that we have the God that we have, aren't we? All right. Well, then, does the Word of God show us truth through Scripture concerning the destination of infants and little children after death? Yes, it does. And what is our proof? Our proof is the Scriptures and what David said happened to his child, right? Right. Okay. Then this is Bible proof that little ones are safe. S-A-F-E. They're not saved. They did not believe on Jesus Christ. And they're not, they did not exercise faith. They didn't even know anything about Jesus Christ or the Bible. They didn't know anything. They're safe in the Lord and will go to heaven should they die. Now, that's what the Bible teaches according to David and what he said about his child. And there's no way that we can be wrong. You say, how? Because it's God's Word. So remember what we talked about before we started asking questions? That what the Bible says we're going to believe, and we're not going to question it, and we're not going to start asking a bunch of questions about it. We just believe what we've read and what the Bible says. It makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Now, this is Bible proof that little ones are safe in the Lord and will go to heaven should they die. And if you've had a little child that has died, then you can be assured, according to the Scriptures, by faith and what we believe, and our God wouldn't lie to us, that your child has gone to heaven and that the Lord is with the Lord in glory. Okay? So the practice of having an infant child sprinkled after birth is a false lie and found nowhere in the Scriptures, nor even hinted at. The Bible does not talk about baptizing infants so that it gives them any advantage of being in heaven. That's a fake, false, and it's not mentioned in the Scriptures anywhere. And if you're concerned about what the Scripture says and what God says, it does not say anything about sprinkling a child. Nowhere. So look it up. It's not there. You're not going to find it. That's man-made stuff. It's false and it's a lie. And you shouldn't have your baby sprinkled because your baby does not know anything about what's going on except it's getting water in the face. And little children are safe until they reach the age of accountability, which is our next question. But they are never saved. You are saved. The Bible says you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And being born again is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Exercising, believing on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, which a baby can't do, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, the baby can't do that, thou shalt be saved. So a baby cannot be saved. An infant cannot be saved until he reaches the age of accountability to where he knows that he has sinned against God. Okay? Now, according to the, I looked up, just to break it down concerning infant and childhood and adolescence and adulthood. And when we talk about an infant, we're talking about a very young child. We're talking about from birth to probably around 1 year or so, but it's still a suckling. Okay? Now, one that who has not yet begun to walk or talk. According to the law, someone too young to have full legal responsibility, way off from that. You know, a little child doesn't think about legal things, what's right and wrong. He's being taught that kind of stuff. And a little infant is somebody that's younger than that, probably still a suckling, and probably cannot walk or talk yet. Okay? Now, then you go into childhood. Now, this is kind of how the Bible breaks it down when it comes to adolescence and it comes to infants and adolescence. And this is kind of the way society sees it. But society's so fouled up now. They ain't got any idea what nothing is. But childhood, then we move from infancy to childhood. And childhood is the state of a child that's between infancy and adolescence. And adolescence is the next step to where it's a time period between the beginning of puberty and adulthood. It's when a child starts becoming developed. And that's so adolescence is the time to is the time where they actually go into puberty and go into development. Okay, and start growing into the person that they're going to be. The state that someone is between puberty and adulthood is adolescence. Now, adulthood. Adulthood is the period of time in one's life that after your physical growth is stopped and you're fully developed, and it's a state to where you are completely responsible and a person who has attained maturity. Okay, so you can see a difference in there, but it's kind of like you phase into each one and you phase out of one. And nobody can pick the exact time that you were an infant and you went to childhood. Nobody can pick the exact time from childhood to adolescence. Nobody can pick the exact time from adolescence to adulthood. There's a lot of grown people that are not grown-ups. And there's a lot of... adolescents, a lot of children in childhood that are developed that should not be. Are you getting this? So God knows these things, and he knows where a child is and where a child is not. Okay, so that's what's going to take us. This is kind of an introduction, leaving whether or not children go to heaven. Infants and little children, if they die, do they go to heaven? According to the scriptures, yes, they do. And that's what we should believe, because David said so. And God's word had David talking in it, and God approved it and gave it to us to read and to believe. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, if God said that about hearing his word is what gives us life, and we will not have any condemnation on us at all, God will not condemn us about nothing, but is passed from death unto life, then on the subject of little infants and children going to heaven, through the mouth of David and Bathsheba, are we to believe that? Yes, of course we are. So, infant, childhood, adolescent, and adulthood. But concerning little children and infants, if they die, comfort yourself. Concerning the scriptures, we have a merciful and wonderful and kind God. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, and an infant cannot repent. Okay? So that's why sprinkling is no good. All right? Now, in Luke chapter 18, verse 15 through 17, and we'll close this question out in this recording here. And in our next recording, we'll pick up right there, and we'll go into what is the age of accountability. And that'll be interesting also. But in Luke chapter 18, verse 15 through 17, the Bible says, "And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord goes into talking to him. But you see what the Lord said about little children and infants? He mentioned infants and little children in that verse. And they were stopping the people from bringing the infants and the little children to him, and the Lord rebuked them. So why would the Lord send an infant to hell? That would be a pretty cruel Lord, wouldn't it? Could you serve a Lord that you knew sent children to hell? God's not that way. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 3, the Bible says, Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. In that prior verse in Luke right there, what we just read, what did Jesus call the infants that he mentioned? And they brought unto him also infants that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. For such is the kingdom of God. In this verse that we just read, in 1 Samuel 15:3, the Lord not only mentions an infant, but he also mentioned what? Sucklings. Sucklings. He mentioned sucklings. He mentioned men and women, infant and suckling. So we can see that the Lord has made a difference right there in a suckling and an infant. There is a small but mentioned difference right there. He said infant and suckling. Kill them all. By the way, yes, that's your Lord too. The Bible says to fear the Lord. To fear him, this lovey-dovey God that people think that they can control and shake around like a handkerchief and control him, they got the wrong God. This God loves children and brings them to heaven if they die, but he also passes judgment and will kill them all if that's what he decides. You don't play around with the Lord, and you don't play around with his word. The Lord is merciful, and he loves mercy, and he loves compassion, and he loves forgiving. The Bible says the Lord stands ready to forgive us. He's waiting to forgive us. The Bible says the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. When God's being kind to us, he makes our heart and helps us to get in such a place to where our heart will repent. Because when we repent, he can forgive us. That's the way our Lord is. But when you get on his wrong side, and it comes up to like this 1 Samuel verse right here, he said, slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Now, he was mad at these people. And then finally, in Job chapter 3:16, the Bible says, Or as an hidden, untimely birth, I had not been, as infants which never saw light. Did you hear what Job said? Job said, I'm talking about an untimely birth. In other words, they die in the womb. And then he said, as infants which never saw light. In other words, they never came out of their mama. They died in the womb. But what did he call them? He called them infants. So an infancy starts in the womb. That's another question we're going to get into later on. Abortion. Okay? So a lot of interesting stuff when you start believing the word, huh? When you start taking the word for what it says, not what people think it says or says it says, or Dr. Such and Such says it says, or Dr. Smarty Pants, or whatever. But what does the Bible say? So in conclusion, Job calls the child that dies in the womb a what? He called it an infant. He called it an infant. So we'll stop right there and praise the Lord. I think that we've had a good study today and concerning infants and little child. What happens to infants and little children if they die? Now, we didn't see, we heard the Lord Jesus today talk about little children and not to keep them from coming to him. As important as infants and little children, he mentioned them both by name. But we didn't talk about little children dying, but we will get into that in the age of accountability in the next question, in the next recording, if the Lord will. So thank you for listening today. Be comforted that you can believe that we have a God that's merciful, and that if an infant or a little child that has not reached the age of accountability, they will go to heaven when they die. That's what the Bible says. It doesn't say it specifically, but it shows us evidence in the Scriptures that if we said they went anywhere else than heaven, we'd have to deny the Scriptures, wouldn't we? That's right. So you see how that Bible is? A lot of times you're going to, that's why the Lord said, study to show thyself approved unto God. Because you cannot say, the Bible does not say, thou shalt not smoke. But it gives us a lot of evidence about what God thinks about happening to your body and the condition of that temple that you're living in. So, you see, you got to be careful with the Scriptures now. I mean, God's Word is not going to be manipulated, and you can make it say, you can't make it say anything. You can make you can get any answer you want out of the Bible if you're going to be sneaky and connive and everything else, but you can't make that Bible say anything different than what it says. So, that's what we're going after. What's that Bible say? Praise the Lord. All right. Well, we're going to stop right there. Let me give you these scriptures. Are you ready? And I'll give you these scriptures, and you can write them down. What happens to infants and little children if they die? Acts chapter 13, verse 22. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 1 and 2. 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 29, 36, and 37. And then 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 10. And then Psalms chapter 23, verse 6. And then 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 18 through 23. And Luke chapter 18, verse 15 through 17. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 3. And then finally, the last one for today, Job chapter 3, verse 16. Now go back over those verses if you got time, and if you don't, make time. And go back over those verses and refresh yourself about what we have just read, and nail it down so that you have the answer and you have the peace about what God's Word says concerning what happens to infants and little children if they die. So the Lord bless you, and thank you for studying with us today, with me today. I don't know where I get this us from, but I guess all of us, huh? So the Lord bless you, and I appreciate you, and I admire you for studying your God's Word. And I'll talk to you on the next recording. Bye-bye.